this community that I would do all in my power to get them some answers into what transpired on that fateful morning when Trayvon died and drowned in the Genesee River. One thing that I am more certain of today than I've ever been is that had it not been for adult failures, Trayvon Roe may still be with us. We asked the school district to combine press conferences, but they refused. I know that they will be doing a press conference in a few moments as well to outline their findings. Again, adult failures led to a young man's death in our community. Sorry in this case is not enough. Sorry from the district and the 911 center is not enough. It wasn't until 5:15 p.m. that our police department received a call that Trayvon was missing and possibly in danger. We were met with resistance from the school, but our police officer on the scene insisted on getting to the heart of the matter. Unfortunately, we were all too late. During the course of the police chief's review of this entire incident to give a detailed report to me, he discovered that the 911 dispatchers failed to follow protocol and procedure. There are 911 recordings where bystanders reported someone on the bridge. While the 911 center dispatched a state trooper, it is also our protocol that when someone is in distress on a bridge above water, to dispatch fire rescue and notify the scuba team. This did not happen. And you know what? We have to own it. We ask our community to call in, and we have certain protocols that our dispatchers are supposed to follow, regardless of whether they knew we had a report of a child missing or not. I would now like to ask Chief Simonelli to walk us through the details, as well as 911 Acting Director Steve Cousins to outline what he believes to be the breakdown in 911.
Thank you, Mayor. On Monday, March 13th, I met with RPD and Goodman Section Command Staff to review the status of the investigation concerning Trayvon Roe. This included reviewing what had already been done, identifying what action items remained to be completed, and to begin the process of gathering information for an after-action review. As part of that process, among many other items of information, I requested copies of the CAT event printout and the audio recordings of the 911 calls received reporting a person, excuse me, on the Frederick Douglass Susan B. Anthony Bridge shortly after 8 a.m. on Thursday morning, March 8th. Later yesterday afternoon, I reviewed the CAD printout and listened to the 911 calls along with other members of my staff. At that time, it was my assessment that under the existing dispatch policy, based upon at least some of the multiple calls received, the Emergency Communications Department was required to dispatch the Rochester Fire Department, including water rescue assets, to respond to this call and to notify the scuba team commander for situational awareness. This did not occur, and the fire department was not notified, nor was the scuba team commander. I then met with Fire Chief John Schreiber and provided him with this information, and I requested his assessment. After reviewing this information, he agreed that under the dispatch policy, the fire department should have been notified and dispatched. At that time, at my request, a member of my command staff contacted Acting ECD Director Steve Cousins and relayed our concerns that these calls were not properly dispatched and requested that he review the situation. I then notified Mayor Warren's staff regarding our concerns and that we were awaiting the results of the review by Acting Director Cousins. I spoke again to Acting Director Cousins early this morning. At that time, he advised me that his initial assessment was that ECD policy had not been followed and the fire department should have been dispatched and the scuba team notified. We then arranged to brief Mayor Warren and other city officials earlier today. RPD is continuing to conduct an after-action review to assess our response to this investigation. I'm now going to turn this over to Acting Director Steve Cousins.
Pardon me. On Thursday, March 8th at about 8:08 in the morning, the 911 center received a radio call from non-duty Rochester Police Department patrol unit for a male walking westbound in the eastbound lane of the Freddie Sue Bridge. Moments after the initial radio report, the New York State Police were dispatched to check the welfare of the individual, and within minutes, several telephone reports were being received by the 911 call takers, all providing similar descriptions, and that the information led us to believe that the individual could be in peril. In two of the phone calls, he was described as being over the safety guardrail. The updated information was not added in its entirety to the event, and therefore dispatchers did not have the added info that the person was over the guardrail. The call takers at that point should have entered a job for the fire department and an ambulance to respond as well. The trooper that was dispatched to the area was on scene relatively quickly after dispatch. The dispatchers notified him that we had additional calls. He didn't see anyone on the bridge, and when they asked him if the fire department was necessary, he said he would advise on the fire department, and that did not transpire into a dispatch. Based on the information received in the phone calls, the fire department should have been dispatched very early on this job. It's our longstanding policy to dispatch them on such calls. Further, the Rochester Police Department scuba squad commander should have been contacted as well for situational awareness, as Chief Simonelli mentioned. As of this afternoon, six 911 employees have been placed on administrative leave while a complete investigation is handled, and further disciplinary processes will be enacted as well. Our employees receive a minimum of 100 hours of in-service training each year. Following this policy violation, our training department immediately crafted a training module, which has already been completed by many of our on-duty staff. All will have to complete it within the next 2 weeks. We'll continue to provide continuing education to our dispatchers so that a situation like this doesn't present itself again in the future.
Thank you. Today is definitely a sad day, because if it weren't for human error in this case, there might have been a different outcome. And the adults failed this young man, and we have to own that. I know that our first responders, who put all they could into the search for Trayvion, hoped for a different outcome. So did I. It is my pledge to do right by every resident in our community. Our community and this family deserves to know that mistakes were made. With that said, I would like to appeal personally to Ms. Houston and Trayvion's friends, this community, and loved ones. I know there is no apology big enough to bring Trayvion back and mend your broken hearts. The right and moral thing to do that we as a city and also the school district have to do and must assure our citizens that we have identified an omission. We are holding people responsible, accountable, and we have and will continue to make corrections that ensure that this will not happen again. It can't happen again, because we all have to pay attention. Thank you, and we can take any questions that you may have.
Do you know or believe, the city believes, that it was, in fact, Trayvion who was on the bridge?
Chief.
We believe that it's likely. We can't say that with certainty, but you know, based on the facts and the circumstances, the last seen point on the bridge of the individual and where he was located in the river, that is certainly a possibility, although I can't say it with certainty.
Is there any information yet from the ME's office about, say, a time of death?
I have no information yet from the ME's office.
You can handle it, east side of it.
Well, at least at this point, as I'm reviewing, there was an initial reluctance on the part of school staff to provide school video. The officer was trying to determine the last seen location of Trayvion to try to determine what direction he may have left the school. Now, of course, this is a number of hours after he actually left. So there was a, I guess I'll say, a confrontation. A verbal confrontation where the officer demanded to see the video, was told that the on-site school people needed higher level authorization, but however, based upon a repeated demand by the officer, they did in fact eventually show him the video.
Do you have other video linking where how he may have traveled to get to that location?
Yes, we have at least one other video that I'm aware of, and again, this is, we're still gathering information at Mount Hope and Gregory at approximately 7:51 a.m.
Us a time
Well, we're working on that. We've had a number of requests for that. We know people are interested, but, you know, for the sake of absolute accuracy, again, part of my meeting yesterday with my staff was to make sure that we were gathering the information we needed to provide this information to you. So we are working expeditiously, but I'm going to sacrifice speed in favor of accuracy and make sure that whatever we give you is accurate.
So, Chief, the one video that has been described, the one that your officers wrested from the school personnel Thursday evening, can you tell us if it shows that Trayvon, as we have heard, got off the bus and immediately walked off the ground?
No, I can't say that again. So we'll be providing this information. But again, the reason the officer wanted it was to try to determine what direction he may have left.
And can you say, was it north?
I can't say that, no.
Okay. You said SAR wasn't enough. Will the city be giving anything to Trayvon's family besides the SAR?
They have retained an attorney. And so we will be working with their attorney, and I'm sure that the city school district will be working with their attorney as well.
Can you say whether or not who specifically was reluctant to give you? Was it the video? Was it the super? I mean, was it the principal, or was it?
I'm not going to name people yet. We are hopefully we'll be working with the school district, but we have a number of reports and other information that we're going through. So at this point, I think it's premature to release names. But there was, a dispute over what their interpretation of the policy was. And our officer's object was to get the information as quickly as possible so that we could at least have a starting point to go look.
Did they at that time know that he was missing?
I'm sorry?
Did they at that time know that
he was missing? This was sometime after 5:15, after we received the initial call to the Rochester Police Department about the missing child. And this was one of the first responding officers that went to the school.
Chief Schreiber, if you could, had the units been dispatched, as now you believe they should have been, to the bridge when those calls came in, do you have any sense as to what would have happened? Would their intervention have been, could they have turned the tide?
Yeah, as much as I'd like to answer that question, I don't know. None of us know. Our thoughts and prayers are with the family and the young boy here. But I know our firefighters; they would have done everything that they could, and this is what they do day in and day out. So,
do you have any sense, just from the training and so on, the average length of time it takes from the time they arrive on scene on, say, a bridge? And there is a person in the water. How long it takes them to get their watercraft down? Yeah. And is that just a few minutes, typically? Or?
Yeah, our first unit is at the Broughton Allen Station, which is under a mile away. Would have probably taken under 3 minutes to get to the bridge at that point in time. Chief Jackson, I'm not sure if you want to make any additional comments as far as response times go with that.
Well, what I would say is that once we arrive on scene, there is the possibility that they could lower a ladder, throw in a throw bag. We could use our resources to rescue someone within seconds if we are on scene. Once we get there, we have a bevy of different tools that we could use to rescue someone. But normally, if we're on scene in seconds, we can deploy something that someone could be rescued with.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Chief, at this point in the investigation, are there going to be any charges that would be filed?
No, at this point, I don't contemplate any criminal charges being filed.
What would have to be discovered for that to happen?
Well, we'd have to find evidence of a crime. The purpose of our review, again, was normally after any significant event like this, I've been committed to doing after-action reviews to review with my staff how we performed. We want to identify purpose. I want to emphasize, as we commenced this review yesterday, I wasn't focused on this dispatch issue. It was one of numerous items that I requested so I could begin, a very thorough review. When I got to this documentation later in the afternoon, that's when I became concerned and consulted Chief Schreiber and Acting Director Cousins.
So with the dispatch aside, would there be any negligence on the school?
I'm not going to comment on that. Right now, my focus is how RPD and the city responded, not only RPD by itself, but as a city team. And I will say that my initial assessment of the overall response by the police department, was exceptional. But again, I think it's important, and I'm committed to doing after action reviews and assessments so that we can do better. Well, no. Once we gather all the information, certainly we're committed to cooperating with the school district, and we will certainly make my feelings known, my assessment of how we can do better together, and I want to hear from them how we can do better. So I'm committed to cooperating, to work together in partnership to keep our young people safe. So whatever is a part of this review, of our review, of their review, if we can work better together or find a better way to do things, I'm committed to that.
Chief, were you aware, or was the police department aware at that time when you were called whether or not Trayvon had special needs?
Well, I think that, again, I don't want to speak for the initial responding officers. Again, I'm still going through a lot of information, exactly what they were told. I can say that the urgency of the police department respond is evident in what I've seen so far, that they recognize this as an urgent matter, which again, frankly, I think which was led to the insistence by the responding officers that they be given immediate access to the video and not wait for further authorization.
Chief, are you able to say if there had been previous episodes, perhaps the police were involved in which Trayvon had run off?
I'm not personally aware of any, so at this point, that's all I can say.
Whether the city or police be working to change protocols after this, do you think?
Well, at this point, just speaking strictly for the police department, at this point, I haven't identified anything. But if we do identify anything, we'll pursue it. Now, again, I want to emphasize the point is there was a written protocol in place on how this call should have been dispatched that, again, my concern that it wasn't followed correctly was what led me to Chief Schreiber and Acting Director Cousins.
The chief is accurate in the fact that policy and procedures wasn't followed here. There was a written policy on how this was supposed to be dispatched. It wasn't followed. Our review of what we have thus far shows that not only that our police department and all of our emergency response team act within accordance with protocol and procedure. They acted expeditiously when they learned after 5:15 that this young man had been missing. The incident that we're talking about this morning, that happened that morning in regard to that 911 call, was a person on a bridge that was in distress. And so at no point in time did they have any idea that there was a missing child at all at that time.
At what point was that connection made, or was it made? At some point after the fact, maybe after?
Not till they were called at 5:15.
Okay.
That we know that a child was missing.
Yeah. What happened as the, in addition to the operational end of this, which was mainly the search, coordinating the volunteers, the police officers doing the physical searches, we also had a pretty intensive investigative effort. Part of that was going through all our records, all our documentation to see if there was anything that might have been related. During the course of that situation, doing that investigation, these calls, our investigators from Goodman Section came upon these calls and then worked with our SCUBA team. And in fact, our SCUBA team commander and members of the SCUBA team reached out and actually communicated with some of the people that called to try to determine if there was, if there was a possible connection. So based on that, I believe, and please correct me if I'm wrong, Sergeant, that one of our SCUBA team members actually met with one of the callers who pointed out the location where the person was last seen.
That's correct.
And then based on that, our SCUBA team working with the Monroe County Sheriff's SCUBA team came up with a plan to go in the river, and that's what led them into the river on Sunday.
So this was Sunday.
Information. You just can't dive, inadvertently at various points in the river. You need very specific location. And again, every dive involves some risk. Now, and for a recovery operation, we're not going to tolerate a higher risk dive. We're going to make sure the conditions are safe for our divers. If there's a rescue possibility, then based on the assessment by the scuba team commander, we may authorize a higher risk dive. But by that time, we were in a recovery mode. So based on the information, the investigation, you know, we deemed it that it was, we could safely go in the river, work with the Sheriff's Department scuba team and attempt to locate, you know, if there was anything there.
Can you say what time it was the Goodman section recognized, you know, made the connection, if you will, to the phone?
No, again, we're pulling all that together. Again, you got to remember, there was a lot going on. I also want to emphasize, too, there were multiple calls. There were sightings. We followed up. I mentioned this the other day. We followed up, our investigators, our police officers, we followed up on every lead that took us to different parts of the city, outside the city, where people were saying they saw him. So you got to understand, this is not like we're checking out this one thing, and if that doesn't work, go to the next thing. There are multiple aspects of this that are going on continuously from the time this was reported right through Sunday.
The state police say they called 911 Friday morning to report the possible connection, you know, having responded to the calls on the bridge.
Right.
Did 911 communicate that to RPD?
I don't have that information now, but I know between our backtracking and information that we got, our investigators and our scuba team began following up on these calls.
Have you spoken with any teachers? Do you know if he was even marked present that day?
Again, I'm just not going to comment on what happened at the school because, again, we have no personal knowledge of
and
that.
And the school district is having a press conference in a moment to outline their review and what they have been able to ascertain thus far with this case. And so any questions relating to what happened that morning at school, if he was there or not, would have to go to the superintendent and her team. And I know they will be meeting with you shortly to talk about that. Yes, we spoke with them before we held this press conference, knowing that we were both had identified shortcomings and wanted to combine it so that it could be better to talk about this at one location, provide all the information to the citizens at one point in time and also to you, but they declined to do that. They're well within their right to do that, but I think that it would have been better to work together, to report to the community together. We stood here together on Sunday when Travion's body was found, and I think that it's right for us to continue to work together to provide better outcomes for our children and the families that have their children at the Rochester City School District.
What was the reason that they suddenly declined?
I don't know.
I want to ask you about their protocol, but have you been in touch with them about just any discussions regarding the district's protocol and how this was handled? Or?
Yes, the superintendent and I have been talking all weekend, and you know, and also you know, her team and my team and my staff have been talking to the police department and others. So we have been in constant contact over this situation because it is it's a tragedy that happened in our community. The city school district has an elected board. You know, Rochester is one of four cities that we're one of the cities that the mayor is not in control of the school district. And it's my job to work with the superintendent and work with the school board, and I will continue to do so. But you know, parents have to make sure that they are involved. They have an elected board. They need to talk to the board members. I will continue to do what I can from my vantage point to work with the superintendent and to do this together. We are one community. We have to work together in order to get things done on behalf of our children and their families. And we have a great relationship. And so I think that as we move forward, this situation is one that is definitely a tragedy, and I will want to continue to be able to work with the school board as well as the superintendent in order to make sure that our children are safe, that they're receiving a proper education, and that we are doing everything that we can to make sure that the information provided to us on our side is accurate so that we can act accountable, we can be accountable for that which the city is responsible to own.
Is this a reason that you should be in charge of the school district, the mayor should be?
That's left up to others to say.
Two last things, if I could, about the episode on the bridge. As you mentioned, Chief, the dispatcher deferred, I guess, to the state police. I mean, asked them, should I dispatch fire? They tell me that they, some minutes later, gave an answer, no, it's not necessary. I think you might have said perhaps they didn't answer. Either way, they were asked to make a decision on that.
Either way, protocol wasn't followed.
Do they bear any responsibility, share any responsibility for the fact fire didn't go out?
So the protocol is that when someone is on a bridge in distress over water, that fire is dispatched, as well as the sergeant in charge of the scuba team is contacted. That protocol wasn't followed. Regardless of what the state trooper might have indicated, our policy was not followed here.
What are your thoughts on police kind of being met with a little bit of, I guess, confrontation when they're trying to track down somebody who may have been missing for 10 hours with special needs to, being met with that type of resistance, I guess, what are your thoughts?
I think that is frustrating, and I think that the officer was definitely frustrated, and of course, we are behind the time. We're getting to this knowing that this child might have been missing for hours, and trying to get to the heart of the matter, trying to see what we can do to be of assistance here. And so I talk about adult failures, human error, and that's literally what we have here. It is not an excuse. It is the reality of what we are faced with in this particular situation. It is our goal to make sure that this doesn't happen in our community again, and that those individuals that that failed to follow protocol and procedure be held accountable for their actions. At least on our side, I can indicate that. Acting Director Cousins has already suspended 6 people pending an investigation, and we will continue to follow through on that investigation. The chief will continue to do his review of the entire event, and we will make sure that how we responded and what we did was the right thing to do. I can tell you, being involved in this from the moment of up into the body was pulled out of Trayvon's body was pulled out of the water, that we all believed that we would find him. The police department believed that we would find him. All of the supporters and people that came out believed that because of his special needs and his autism, that he was hiding somewhere, that we would locate him, and he was just afraid to come out. It wasn't until we actually were able to pull the body out of water, get a visual and look at it and say that this fit the description, that we realized that we had lost him. Now, going and reviewing that, we start to look at, okay, well, what happened here? What happened? And how did this happen? And then we're hearing about, and the chief reviewing the procedures and reviewing this case, ran across this because he's reviewing everything, saying, wait a minute, I think that there's something that we, 911, did not do here in dispatching fire and dispatching or contacting the scuba commander. Now, I can honestly say that we don't know, had the fire been dispatched and also scuba been dispatched, that we would have been able to save him, because of the fact that when you look at the height of the bridge, the water, this is a young man, that's left up to, we just don't know. I just think that the fact that this was a procedure and protocol that wasn't followed was egregious enough, and we have to take responsibility for it.
Could there be a better relationship, do you think, with the school district and police, I guess, just not working together or stuff like this?
Well, the school district and the police department work together. We have school resource officers in the school. We talk all the time. This is an anomaly. This is not how we operate. This is one particular isolated incident. Again, the police department was not notified until 5:15 p.m. that we had a missing child, and they enacted and did everything that they could from that point forward. And as the chief has indicated, we received several tips from all over the city, outside of the city, saying that they saw him and saying that he was in different locations. So they're chasing these leads, never at that point in time making the connection that it's a possibility until that was one of the leads that came up, that there was a possibility that he was in the water. Thank you all.
Thank you.